Who is Mark Weber? He's a self-made business executive here to help you find your success. From the New York City projects to the Avenue Montaigne in Paris, his global success story in the luxury world of fashion is inspirational. He's gone from clerk to CEO twice. Mark is classic proof that the American dream is alive and well. Here's your host of Always in Fashion, Mark Weber.
This is Mark Weber. This is business. And tonight on Always in Fashion, I want to talk about Bye Bye Baby. Actually, I'm running out of patience. Somebody says something to me the wrong way, I'm out of here. I'm out of there. I can't wait to get away from someone when I hear something I don't like. And that's the theme for the show tonight. I'm out of here. Life is always moving, moving fast. The earth spins on its axis, and you're moving as well. There's so many choices, in this case, decisions and moves that make for you to do the right thing, whatever you want to do. It's such a difficult decision-making process out there. But I'll tell you what, I'm a loyal guy. When I find a product I like, I will stay with it pretty much forever. Until such time, I'm given a reason or a force to change. When I find a restaurant I like, forget it. I become their best customer overnight. I go to it a lot. I just keep eating there. When I do business with a resource or a supplier, a great factory, a great ad agency, or a great photographer or a retail store, I will keep coming back as long as they behave with integrity. When I find a brand I like, I'll stay with it as long as it gives me what I expect of them. Once again, integrity. I don't change. I stay with them until they force me to leave. If I find a car brand that has outstanding style, performance, and quality, they can own me forever. I'll just keep repeating. I will keep coming, and I will be a consistent repeat customer, which is the best kind of customer any company wants. If that car company's design slips, if they lose consistency, I'm done. I'm out of there. I don't know. Maybe as I get older, my hair gets grayer. I'd like to think that that brings some wisdom. And while I feel wiser, I also feel I don't have the same patience I once did. I just can't suffer fools. I don't have the inclination to compromise in situations and stick them out. I just call it quits. I leave. I'm out of there. As I've said before, Benjamin Franklin had a great quote. Well done is better than well said. I don't want to hear from people. I want to see what they do. But shouldn't people, shouldn't companies, shouldn't products live up to their promises, deliver on brand, give you what you pay for? If not, I don't know about you, but I'm out of there. And tonight, our show, for all the reasons I've just listed, our show is entitled, I'm Out of Here, or I'm Out of Here. I must admit it's more difficult to say the proper way, but I'll tell you what, it's also more difficult to satisfy me now where I am in life. Maybe it's age, maybe it's success, maybe it's raising the bar on expectations, or hopefully, when you expect the best, you get the best. Yes, I demand the best, or I'm out of here. Speaking the best. You ready? My son and co-host, Jesse Weber. I love to ask you what you think of these topics, Jesse. So here we go. What do you think of this one?
Wouldn't it be funny if I said I'm out of here? I think it's funny that you're talking about this because I know you so well. And when we're in a situation or a conversation where you really want to get out of there, it's written all over your face. I don't know if you try to hide it, but I see right through it. I know when you want to leave.
Well, the only difference is now I do it.
Yes, that's true. You've gotten to the point where you said, I don't care. I'm out of here.
My favorite of late, when we're together, And the other night, I ran into a former colleague. Remember that one?
How could I forget that?
At the Polo Bar. We'll talk about that again.
Mm-hmm. How could I forget it? You ran into him. You say, exchange, how's life? How's everything going? He said to you, how's the family? And you said, great, everything. And then he said to you, oh, how's the radio show?
And I said, have you listened?
And when he said, no, I haven't gotten into it. I don't think he even finished the sentence before you said, all right, I'm out of here. And you just walked away. You just walked away. You go, I'm done with him.
I'm out of here. I dumped him. Heck with him. I don't want to hear another word out of him. But that's me. That's personal. Tonight's show, I'm in the good mood. I want to talk about different things. We'll talk about some fashion. We'll talk about business. Maybe we'll even talk a little politics. But we're going to talk a little bit about life and being out of there. My favorite stories of late have been coming from restaurants. My family found a restaurant in our local neighborhood. By accident, I was driving around one day and I saw this restaurant. I said, you know what? I'll go in. I went in. I ate dinner by myself. I was alone that night. Everybody else was doing something. The food was spectacular. Following day, I think it was a Sunday or Saturday, we brought the family in. We all had dinner. Everybody loved it. For the next 6 days in a row, we had dinner there every night. Got to know the maitre d', got to know the owner. I mean, quickly, we became their best customer. How many people bring a family every night to a restaurant? I'm a creature of habit. You treat me right, I'm there. One night, the last night, sixth night of this adventure, everybody wanted dessert, and they had mousse. They brought it over on a tray. You ever seen you go into a restaurant? What do you call it, Jesse, when they show you all the desserts?
Oh, like in the cart when they push it.
Yeah, they bring in the cart and they show us all the desserts, and there were six of us. So we ordered mousse. We said, do you have six? And the waiter went in the back and said, yeah, we do. So we all had mousse. My older son takes one taste out of the mousse and he spits it out. It's terrible. It's all spoiled. So call the waiter and said, what is this? He says, I don't know. You know, what's the problem? He said, well, this one doesn't taste right. Oh, I'm very sorry for that. And then we don't get it. My son was like a dog with a bone on this one, and he gets upset, you know, because he thought he would get sick from what he ate. And he looked at over at the cart, the cart that showed all the desserts that must have been out all day and all night. And he said to the waiter, he called him back, where's the one that was on the cart? He says, what do you mean? I don't know. So he said to the waiter, do you give me the one that was on the cart? And the waiter denied it. Waiter denied it. Isn't it interesting that it wasn't there? So we called over the owner of the restaurant. And the owner of the restaurant, we told him the story. Listen, we had six of these things. One of them was rancid. You find out what happened? So he went in the back, and you see him talking to the waiter, and blah, blah, blah. He comes back. He said, we don't know. He must have had one bad one. Sorry about that. He said, no, that's not the question. The question is whether or not he served me the one that you showed to everyone for the last 6 hours. Oh, no, we wouldn't do that. So my son said to him, then show me that one. And what happened? He couldn't. So he lied to us. We were out of there. That's it. And that's the theme of tonight. We were out of there. Here's a restaurant I found out became the best customer in the first week because they lied. I would never go back.
It's a great story, but I have a better one. Okay? And this also concerns Jared and I. So there's another local restaurant where we live. Great restaurant. We've been going to it for a long time.
Which one? Don't say it out loud. Uh-oh.
Great restaurant, right? Here's the problem. About a month ago, Jared, my brother, and I were noticing that when you go into the men's bathroom, the soap doesn't really make bubbles. In fact, when you put it on, it feels a lot like hand sanitizer. So my brother, I said to my brother, he goes, it's hand sanitizer. I go, no way. He says, it's hand sanitizer. So after a few times, I noticed that it still feels like hand sanitizer. So I go up to the owner of the restaurant. I said, I got to ask you a question. It's a little bit like a Larry David episode. I said, I got to ask you something. Is that hand sanitizer or is that soap? And he goes to me, no, it's soap. I go, are you sure? And he goes, yeah. Now, anybody who watches Curb Your Enthusiasm, I went up to him and I go,
You give him that look in the eye and moved your head.
And I go, okay. About, I would say a day later, because we go back there so often, I'm going to the bathroom. The manager stops me. He goes, Mr. Weber, I have to apologize to you. It was hand sanitizer. I said, I knew it. He goes, I'm so sorry. We're getting a shipment of soap in. We just haven't gotten it in yet. It's going to come in. I said, no big deal. Then I notice this shipment never came. Days, another week. In fact, they ran out of hand sanitizer. So all that they have now is water. There's no soap. There's no hand sanitizer. I'm not even questioning how people are washing their hands. They're soap challenged. They're soap challenged. You know what I did? I brought the soap in a bottle. You know the one you press down, the liquid soap?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I brought it to the restaurant. And they go to me. The waiter goes, did you bring soap to the restaurant? I said, I noticed that you're having a problem. I noticed there's no soap in there. And they're like shocked that someone brought the soap. So I leave the soap in. And I'm feeling really good about myself. Now it's not just for me. It's for all the customers. It's for the staff. And then I noticed in the last few times I've been going, I've been looking at the level of the soap because it's see-through.
What are you, crazy?
No, I'm looking. I want to see who's using it. And I notice that it's been there for like 2-3 weeks and it really hasn't been depleted yet. So I'm not.
And they didn't buy their own soap.
They didn't buy. And then I notice somebody else brought another soap. But they still never came with this magical shipment of soap. So now there's only these two bottles of soap. And then one day, I go to the bathroom and it's locked. Somebody's in there. And I hear the toilet seat come up. I hear a flush. And this is the most important thing. I hear the sink turn on like this. That's it. Once, and that's it. Walks out. It's the chef. I'm already panicked. I run right into the bathroom and I look in the sink. And there's no bubbles from the soap. There's no bubble remnants in the soap, which means all this guy did was he used the toilet. We know what he did. He picked the seat up, flushed it, and he just used water to wash his hands very quickly. And now he's making my chicken parmesan. There is a problem here, ladies.
I'm not out of there. This is my favorite restaurant. I don't care. I am not out of there.
So now I'm forced to order dishes where I think they won't use their hands. Pizza's out. Can't do pizza. But pasta, you just dump it right into the water.
Well, that's our stories in life. And that's, we're out of here. Now, as it relates to this restaurant, sorry, I'm not leaving. But tonight, the subject is I'm out of here. I have no patience for things that I don't like. Speaking of that, I'm out of here. I'll be back in a minute.
Always in fashion.
This is Mark Whipple. This is Always in Fashion. In 1998, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Taryn Rose brought comfort to the world of luxury shoes. She was trained as a surgeon and knew that women deserved to feel comfortable in their shoes and developed shoes that were designed to make the human body comfortable. She partnered with design experts and tech innovation to create a collection of shoes that looked beautiful and yet they were incredibly comfortable. Taryn Rose Footwear is about luxurious materials, sophisticated silhouettes, and comfort. They feature innovative comfort technology. Ladies, you want to be comfortable in your shoes. You want to be safe in your shoes. But more importantly, you want to look great in your shoes. Taryn Rose, developed by this brilliant surgeon. The Taryn Rose woman is refined and refuses to sacrifice comfort for style, or for that matter, style for comfort. These shoes are perfect for women who think on their feet, but not about their feet. Discover the latest Taryn Rose collection at TarynRose.com. Taryn Rose, the luxury of comfort.
Welcome back to Always in Fashion. Here's your host, Mark Weber.
This is Mark Weber, and just like him, I'm out of here. That's what I'm talking about tonight. I'm out of here. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's age, maybe it's success, maybe it's a whole bunch of different things. But I'll tell you what, when someone disappoints me, either in a conversation, a product, a service, I have no patience anymore. I'm just out of there. I can't stand around and suffer fools. Maybe you're the same way. Maybe you don't like when you just don't get handled properly. But I'm at the point where I just walk out. We're talking about I'm out of here. And being that the show is about fashion, Of course, we background in fashion. I want to tell you a little fashion story. I want to talk about one of my most favorite brands. Now, I have some great sponsors, and I work for a lot of the companies, and I know how great the products are, but I do have a brand that I've always admired. Never could wear it because I work for other companies. Show up at an office with Louis Vuitton wearing a Polo logo on my Polo Pony shirt. I can't do it. I've bought a lot of stuff from them over the last couple of years because I no longer was encumbered by having to wear the brands that I represented. Don't get me wrong, they're great brands, but I've always liked Ralph. And now let's talk fashion. Walking to the studio tonight, I saw a bunch of sheep walking in the city. Bah! Bah! These sheep are all men. Every single guy I saw was wearing navy or gray suits with these yellow, tan, brown shoes. I can't stand brown shoes with gray or navy. You look like fools. All I do is see the shoes coming. I don't see you. I don't even know what you're wearing. I see shoes. And by the way, I should point out that they're run down, scuffed, the heels are messed up. You want to talk about bringing attention to yourself and then not bringing good attention? It's bad enough the shoes don't match anything. But every single one of you are wearing them, so you want to do it, good luck. You ought to have the shoes in good working order if you're going to do that. Me, navy suits, black shoes. Me, charcoal gray suits, black shoes. You want to wear brown, be smart, but I don't like it. But why am I talking about this? Well, first of all, everyone in polo wears brown shoes in the polo bar, but I'm going to talk about that in a minute. I want to wear Ralph Lauren suits. But the legs are so tight that I feel I look foolish. It's not a choice. I look like a ballerina. I don't look like a businessman wearing these legs. I don't get it. They went too extreme. I know everyone's chasing young people. I get it. I get it. This is a young people's world. But not everybody can wear ballerina pants with their suits. And it puts everything out of proportion. Jesse, you are constantly wearing very, very tight leg pants. What's that all about?
Tighter, the better. No, here's the truth. I agree. When it looks skin tight, doesn't look good. But having baggy suit pants is
Your definition of baggy and mine are two totally different.
It's an 80s thing. I get it. I see it. That extra fabric right there. This isn't Miami Vice, all right? That's not, especially if you are not the tallest guy. To have a slimmer fit suit and a slimmer pant makes you look elongated. It makes you look taller. It's about what looks best on your body, and having baggy pants doesn't look good.
Most guys do not look well in the silhouette. You want to talk about a tall guy? All I see is legs. I'm telling you, I can't shop in polo. Let's stop for a minute and just call this out. I weigh what I weighed in college now. I'm in great shape. I could wear anything I want. That's probably one of the reasons I decided to get in shape. But when I put on those pants and I look down, there's someone else's legs.
I've seen you in them. I think you look good in them.
Yeah, see, that's where we differ. But here's the issue about them. This is a business. This is a business. And one must take into consideration, if they're only going to have one fit, they ought to consider whether or not that fit is universal enough for the largesse of the community. Now, the interesting thing about polo and their suits, they begin at $900, maybe $1,000, and go up to Purple Label. They go up to $5,000 a suit. Now, there are some very successful young people who can spend $1,000 to $5,000 on a suit. But I would tell you that the baby boomer generation, who's still out there wearing suits, can afford to buy them a hell of a lot easier. The wealth is sitting with us. The youth is sitting with you. You don't even want to talk to me. And the business hasn't been all that great. And I'm telling you that I have all this money to spend. I love the brand. I go in the store. I put on the pants or the suit. I look down. I said, who is this? So from a business point of view, there's a lesson here, I think. We don't have to agree, Jesse and I. But don't you have an obligation to appeal to as many of your customers as you can?
Do you think Donald Trump's suits fit him well?
Look,
isn't he in need of tapering?
Donald Trump, when it comes to his sartorial style, needs lots of things. He breaks the number one rule every single day. While you're out there, guys, let me give you a very important tip. You're wearing a single-breasted suit when you are standing. Never, N-E-V-E-R, never, ever, ever, ever wear it open. That's one of style's most important rules. Now, the only exception to that, the only exception to that is if you're in black tie, you wear a cummerbund. So when your suit is open, you see the cummerbund. Or if you wear a vest. But he makes that mistake as well. And of course, everybody knows his ties are too long. But the answer is his pants may be too wide. So something there. But that's a bad example. There is a taper. When you say you see me wearing those pants, I am wearing actually Canali pants. So I'm wearing a very expensive Canali pant. Okay. They are tapered. You said you like it, but they with moderation. You would be able to wear them. Your brother would be able to wear them, and I would be able to wear them. So the question really comes down, if we're talking business, which I am right now, and my friends at Polo, there's no moderation there. They've made it impossible for a large segment of the population to wear their clothes, particularly me. That's what I'm talking about. I'm upset about it because I have the money. I want to wear them. Talk about Polo shirts. To make an example for you. Actually, the first one I bought was Lacoste. I like the alligator. I wore it three times and I wore out the shirt. They're maybe made in France and they may be very elegant, but they don't last. They don't last. They're not good quality. They may look great, but they don't last. They rub out. Men who have beards rub them out. I'm sorry, you French guys. You got a beard or you got a little stubble, scruffy face. You play golf in it, you rub it out. One, two, three. Lexi, you finding this interesting? Lexi's our engineer, producer today. Of all places, I went to Target. I happened to be looking for a book stand. And I found it in Target. And I walked over and saw the PK Polo shirt. I am an expert when it comes to quality. I bought Target polos. They were the best polo shirts I've ever worn in my life. They had no logo. That's what got me there. And to this day, I still wear them. I can't buy enough of them because they don't wear out. You are in the polo shirt business. You have a choice to make. You have a very important decision. If you put a logo on your shirt, as Ralph does on his polo pony, don't hold me to the numbers, but I'm going to tell you, you walk in a store and you walk into Macy's and you see all the polo shirts, logos eliminate 50% of the customers. 50% of the customers don't want a logo. Then the next 25% have to like the logo. If you're Ralph and you're putting your logo on a polo shirt, you're running the risk of 50% of the people not even interested. Now, I happen to think anybody who wants to wear logo polo would wear Ralph, so I'll give them credit. And then you subdivide it even further. After navy, after black, after white, after tan, maybe gray, and certainly maybe red. All those 10 other colors, you probably aren't going to sell many people. 1 in 10 people walking in might want teal blue. So you got this business issue going on when you make these decisions, and that's what I'm talking right now about Ralph and their fitted suits. The jackets are perfect. They fit well. They're the right length. They're the right amount of taper. Jesse could wear them. I can wear them, but the legs are too narrow. If you haven't hated me yet, Ralph and Polo Company, I'm giving you some advice. But having said that, I still love the brand. I want to tell you something. The other night, I went to the Polo Bar for dinner. I went there with my two sons, Jared, Jesse, and one of our friends, their friends, who became my friend, James Chung. Great guy. We've known him since high school. Actually, he and Jared were on the basketball team together. James, I know you're listening. Call out to you. Went to dinner with him. We had a great time. Great time. I'm going to go to the end first. The food there was remarkably tasty. Remarkably tasty. From the, what's that big piece of bread called?
Popover.
A popover. Anybody ever have a popover?
You should if you haven't.
Yeah, they're pretty good. From the popover to the chicken to the desserts, everything was so tasty. Amazing. Really, I wouldn't say if I didn't mean it. The people. You want to go people watching? This is an insane place for people. Everybody there is somebody. Everybody there is somebody. And this show, of course, is about success and success is always in fashion. I like sitting there. I like being part of it. It's not easy to get in. No, it is not. But the theme of our show is I'm out of here. And that's why I'm telling you the story right now. So as far as polo suits go, I'm out of here. You lost me with all my money. All the need gone. Just keep that in mind. But I'm talking about the polo bar. So the four of us arrive to the polo bar. We walk ourselves in. You can't even go into the bar, by the way, unless you have a dinner reservation. And it is packed. Packed, 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 packed. My son made the reservation 3 weeks ago. So anyway, we show up at the front. And we get in. Of course, we had a reservation. Go to the maitre d' and say, we're all here. It's 8:30. So she says, give me a minute. Okay. We walk back. Nothing happens. She says, I don't know if I could seat you right away. I said, what does that mean? She says, give me a minute. So the maitre d' comes over, who we knew. And she says, listen, the wait is probably not going to be too long. I can't expect it to be more than a half hour. I said, are you kidding me? And I looked at my sons and I said, it's 8:30. I'm not waiting a half hour. I'm out of here. The maitre d' and the other one, whatever you call her, saw me do that. And they saw me. I was not happy about it. I said, listen, they want to stay. It's up to him. We have this reservation for 3 weeks. I don't care who else is here. If I can't sit now, I'm out of here. Now, don't ask me why. I can't tell you why. But in 30 seconds, we were sitting at the table. So, polo bar. I love you, but the theme tonight is out of here. And I would have been out of here, but I am going to leave right now and be back in a minute.
Always in fashion.
This is Mark Weber. This is Always in Fashion. And my favorite shoe brand, Acquitalia. Acquitalia is a very interesting shoe brand. Made in Italy. That's where the Talia comes from. And Acqua, they're waterproof. This is a collection of men's and women's shoes that are not only contemporary and styled brilliantly, but they're also waterproof. So you guys and gals, you don't have to change your shoes in inclement weather. And I should tell you how comfortable they are. Not only are they fashion and style right, but they're comfortable. You can wear them wherever you go. Acquitalia designs are contemporary, yet there's a classic feel to them. They're easy to wear. They're elegant, yet they're for every day. High quality and low maintenance, the true foundation of timeless wardrobe, something you could wear every day and not worry about it. Acquitalia is footwear that is made for discerning men and women who make bold moves and want to look their best without sacrificing fashion or comfort. You should explore the latest collection of Acquitalia.com. Acquitalia has amazing styles, beautiful fabrics, beautiful silhouettes. You should really look for them. You can find and explore Acquitalia's latest collection at Acquitalia.com or visit the flagship store at 965 Madison Avenue in Manhattan. Acquitalia, A-Q-U-A-T-A-L-I-A. Wherever the weather goes, they will take you. Made in Italy and waterproof. The best combination.
Welcome back to Always in Fashion. Here's your host, Mark Weber.
This is Mark Weber. This is Business. And tonight I'm talking about I'm out of here. Talking about the fact that if something just annoys me, I have no patience anymore, I just leave. I run away. I don't want any part of you. You come over to me, hey Mark, how you been? I heard you have a radio show. Did you listen? Well, I'm out of there. You see me moving so fast, look like a jet stream. No matter what. You have a restaurant, I expect to be taken care of. You sell me a car, I expect good service. I have it serviced, I expect it to be washed when I pick it up. When I call you for the service, I don't want to hear it's 2 weeks away. I expect you to take care of me. I don't know about the rest of you, but something annoys me, I'm out of here. I will stay loyal to anyone, to anything, to any product, to any brand forever until you disappoint me. And then I'm out of here. And that's what we're talking about right now. But because this show is often about success, I want to talk careers. and the subject of I'm Outta Here. There are many of you out there who are better than you're doing, or think you're better than you're doing, or believe the grass is greener. You make a decision, usually for the right reasons, that you want to leave your company and go somewhere else. I, for one, have often found that many people don't know what green is. They think it's greener, but they don't get it. And I can tell you, if you make a decision to be out of there, the theme for tonight, and leave your company, you got to really, really know why you're doing it. And that's what I want to talk about right now. I want to give you the number one rule in leaving your company. If you never learn anything else from me again, I want you to remember this one thing tonight. Now, I also say that to you every time I have some jewel to give you, but this one's important. Write it down. Here we go. You never, ever, never, ever, ever leave a company without having another job. Never. I can't tell you how many mutants I've met along the way that leave a company without another job. You never, ever, ever, ever leave a company without another job. Now, I would also tell you, I've heard so many stories from people when they're out of work. You know, the stories they go from, well, I didn't have enough time to look for another job. That's why I'm sitting in front of you now. Or I wanted to focus on my job search. I didn't want to be distracted. Or I needed some time off. Or I needed a break. Or I wanted to travel. Or I wanted to search right. Let me tell you something. I don't care who you ever sit in front of ever again to interview for a job. If you left your job without already having another job, you are making a big mistake. Was that clear, by the way?
Crystal.
Crystal. That's what I wanted to hear. You can make a decision to leave your company, and there are many reasons to do it. Let me tell you what they are. Higher salary. Better benefits. Better title. More prestige. Better hours. Better opportunity of learning, a better chance for advancement. If you don't have either one or all of those things, do not leave your company.
Reminds me of when Oprah told me she wanted me to take over for her show, and I said, you know what? Let me see what this Mark Weber situation's happening on WABC Radio. And I said, I'm not gonna say yes until I get yes from there.
You might not have a choice. You might be out of here without deciding on your own if you keep this funny stuff up. Having said that, back to business. There is a subject I'm out of here, which is a little difficult to talk about, but I think important for a show that talks about business and careers, because remember, you're responsible for your own career, no one else. There are times when you lose your job. People get fired, they get terminated, and you have to deal with it. You're not in control of your time anymore. And I wanted to talk about that just a bit. I ran into someone who recently got fired, and they were devastated. And I thought maybe it'd be an interesting thing. I don't want to bring you down. It's just part of life. People get fired. Some of the greatest people in the world get fired, and they come back. Where's Joe Girardi when we need him? Think about the Yankees last year. Out of nowhere, they came and played in the World Series, one game away from winning it all. And they fired Joe Girardi, and this year they can't get arrested, if I'm not mistaken. They're a great team. Manager can't seem to get them to win games. So what? He'll come back. People get fired to come back, and that's the first thing I want to tell you if you get fired. I will also tell you I was fired. I know what it felt like. Getting fired, particularly from a company you like or you're doing well, you thought you're doing well, is a terrible thing you have to deal with. The first thing that happens is you can't believe it. And you get angry. Then you go in denial. Then you couldn't have possibly done anything to find yourself in this situation. Then you give up. You know what's going to happen. You get down. You get depressed. I think pretty much everyone goes through that. But you're not supposed to. I'm going to tell you why. You get fired. They can take your job, but they can't take your skills. It's still you. It's still you. They can take your job, but not your education. They can take your job, but not your skills. They can take your job, but not your reputation. They can take your job, but not all the goodwill you created along the way. You're responsible for your own career. And yes, you're entitled to mourn for the job you lost if it meant something to you, but you have to snap out of it, and you have to come back. Now, I know all of this because I was fired. And if you read Always in Fashion, I tell you the story of losing my job, the one time I did, and how I got out of it. There's a way back. And that's what I wanted to talk to you about, the way back. Now, how do you find another job? Well, the first thing you do, you sit down with a pen and paper, and you make a list of all the people you know, every single one of them. Now, if you say to me, who has time for that? I'll say to you, you do. You just lost your job. Make a list of everybody you know. Next to it, make a list of everybody in the industry you know that you think would help you. It's very interesting about people. I've talked very often that I have no use for people, but people surprise very often on the high side. You'd be surprised if you position yourself well, which I'll talk about in a minute, and you call someone, ask for some help, they're very often willing to do it. And the third list that you're going to make is the most important on the paper. Make a list of all the companies in the industry that you would like and consider working for. Every single one. If you're in the fashion business, you list Macy's, you list Lord & Taylor, you list Kohl's department stores, or any of the specialty great brands, luxury brands, Louis Vuitton, Gucci, Prada, Tommy Hilfiger, Calvin Klein. You make a list of all of them. Then you make a list of all the brands and designer brands that you find fascinating. You make a list, and then you look at those lists, and you say to yourself, if I want to work at Van Heusen, who do I know who could introduce me? Of the list, in column A, of all the people you know, or column B, of all the people that might help you. You'd be surprised, having this simple format, the discipline it will give you, because the next thing you're about to do is make phone calls. I would say to you, send emails, but there's something in this new generation with emails. People don't have to answer emails. I'm not quite sure why. I've talked about this before. When I was big shot, CEO, president, board member, somebody sent me an email. I was always afraid of not answering those emails because it would come back later on to a board member or someone. Mark Weber, I sent him an email. He didn't answer me. I didn't want to have to defend that I didn't answer. So I answered every email that I ever got. But today, for whatever reason, it's too easy, it seems.
It's really rude. And if you were to ask people, they'd say, oh, I didn't receive it. It's so easy to say you didn't receive it. What does it take for someone to just say, receive?
Yeah, but you find your generation does this?
No, not at all. Not at all. They probably go, oh, you know what? I'll write them later, They forget about it, or they just ignore it completely.
So I'd say to you, send an email, but I just don't have faith in the system. You've got to make phone calls. If you worked in the industry for 10 years and you made 1 million phone calls, well, you need 10 million phone calls because one thing leads to another. You're responsible for your own career. You have to make phone calls. And that, I tell you, is the way back. Now, while you're doing this, you're going to feel better about yourself because you have a plan. You're still going to be hurting. You're still going to be down, but you have a plan and you're working your way back. Now, I could talk about this forever, but let me tell you the most important lessons when you go to look for a job. So let's say, go back, you find somebody who knows a company, they can introduce you to the person, and you get an interview. There's a couple of very important rules. First rule, you are still you. Whatever made you successful up until you lost your job, you still are that person. Secondly, when you're in that interview, you have to be confident. You have to craft an explanation of why you're no longer in the company. My advice, rule number two, write this one down. Don't ever, ever, ever badmouth your company. Don't ever badmouth the products. Don't ever badmouth your boss. Don't ever badmouth anyone you worked for. You have to be positive. Look, you loved it there. You had a great run. They wanted to go in a different direction. I don't agree with them, but I respect the fact it's their company, their decision, and I respect the fact that they made this decision. Of course, I don't agree with it, and of course, I believe that they're going to find someone who can do the job in the view of what they want to do it. What was your boss like? My boss was a great person. She was really smart. She knew what she was doing. Didn't you get along with her? Yes, I got along with her. Then why aren't you there? This is where it gets tricky, because we got to a point where either she had someone she liked better than me, or we didn't agree on their future. It's her decision on what to do. You have to keep it positive. And I promise you that your days are not over in your industry. I could go on and on and on, but I really wanted to deal with the issue of I'm out of here. In this case, it's not your choice. Remember as follows. If you lose your job, there's always another job. My father-in-law, may he rest in peace, always said, every pot has a cover. You'll find another pot. You'll find another job, and the grass might be greener, and you might be happier in the end. And with that, I'm out of here. Back in a minute.
Always in fashion.
This is Mark Weber from Always in Fashion. I've talked to you before about the Van Heusen Flex Collar shirt, the shirt that moves with you when you move, the unbelievably comfortable Flex Collar expandable collar. I have great news from you from Van Heusen. They have now expanded from Flex Collars to an entire collection of men's sportswear, pants, knitwear, and of course the Flex Collar dress shirt. If you're a casual Friday company, you still have to look right. You're still in business. You're still competing with everyone else around you. Now you could do it in style and comfort. Pants with stretch fabric and stretch technology that allow you to be comfortable whatever your activities are that day. And all the shirts and all the sportswear that you can now buy under that Flex collection are uniquely you. Great looking style, great comfort from Van Heusen, the Flex collection.
Welcome back to Always in Fashion. Here's your host, Mark Weber.
Loving you isn't the right thing to do. How can I ever change things that I feel? If I could, maybe I'd give you my world. How can I, when you won't take it from me? You can go your own way.
This is Mark Weber, and I'm going my own way tonight. I'm talking about being out of here. You do something to me I don't want to hear, I'm out of there. You own a restaurant, you don't treat me right, I'm out of there. You don't honor your reservation, I'm out of there. It's a great Seinfeld episode when he says, you're good at taking the reservation, you're not good at keeping the reservation. You make a product that doesn't satisfy me, I will be out of there so fast. I am a loyal guy. I'll buy your products as long as you're delivering services to me that I expect. I have high expectations. I have high expectations for humans. You're interested in me? You ask me how I'm doing? I was in a bank yesterday. Young girl standing there. She says to me, how are you today? I said, do you care? And the other teller started to laugh. I said, now I'm going to tell you my answer. I'm going to look you in the eyes. She said, of course I care. So I looked her in the eyes and said, I'm having a good day. Raining, I don't care. And now that you're interested in me, I'm feeling even better about it. It's funny. You don't satisfy me, I'm out of here. Out of here. I have no patience. I can't suffer fools. I can't deal with people or products or brands or anything that doesn't satisfy me. Ask me how I'm doing. Tell me you love my radio show, but haven't listened to it? Gone. That's what I'm talking about today. I'm out of here. I'm trying to have some fun tonight. We talked about different things. Jesse came to me with an idea. You know, where do I want to go now? I want to disappear from it. I had enough. New York, it's been horrible weather. Horrible. Where would I go if I want to be out of here?
Where would we want to go? And you and I have been to a lot of different places in this world.
Together.
Together. But
we're travel buddies.
We are travel buddies. We haven't traveled internationally in a while.
You and I have never had an argument when it came to travel or while we're traveling.
Because I think when you travel with someone, you have to have someone that you vibe with perfectly. Like, we both want to do the same things. We're both up for doing the same kind of things. None of us is. We can pick up and go in 1 second.
What is our favorite kind of day?
Our favorite kind of day. Oh, yeah. It's probably the days where we have no plans.
You're 100% right. I love when we have no plans. It doesn't matter which city you're in, where we are. But as long as there's no plans, it's great. Yeah. No pressure.
That's amazing, because it's great where we start off and then where we end up. Look what we did.
You don't know where life is going to bring you.
The reason we talked about this is because tonight's show is I'm out of here. So we talk about picking up and going. And the reason I bring this up is you've interviewed a lot of people. And one of the questions you ask each one of them is, if you were to disappear, where would we find you? So I ask you the same question.
That's a good question. Where would you find me? I love Arizona. I love Scottsdale, Arizona.
What a place.
The nature, it's like going back in time. You want to know what the pioneers were doing when they crossed the country, going from the East Coast to the West Coast? Amazing. It's like a time and a land that no one ever touched. Cactus, desert. I mean, it's extraordinary. And in the middle of all this desert, they built hotels, golf courses, recreations. Amazing, amazing place. The air smells differently. The lighting looks different. Everything about it is different. It's such a unusual part of the world, Scottsdale, Arizona in particular. But why is this on my mind? I'll tell you. So I met this young lady. She's a nurse. I've talked to you about being curious before. I think, back to success in the show, that the more curious you are, the more interesting you become, the more successful you will become. We've done a whole show on that subject. But anyway, I met this woman. Her name is Cindy Borges. I said, where are you from? She mentioned that she's not from New York. I said, where are you from? She said, I'm from Arizona. Uh-huh. One of my favorite places in the world. But I'll tell you what was on my mind. I said to her, you know, it's the perfect place. If I was to disappear, I wouldn't tell anybody that's where I'd go, except for one thing. She said, what's that? I said, scorpions. What's the deal with scorpions? You live there? She said, I lived my whole life here before I went to New York. I said, I was in a hotel. I stayed at the Phoenician, one of the great hotels in Scottsdale, Arizona, and I saw a scorpion that was see-through. It was like looking at water. I said, it scared the heck out of me. She said, of course, they're there all the time.
Now I'm out of here.
So the first time I saw a scorpion, I said, I'm out of here. You know. And then, of course, they have the black ones with the stingers. I said, what's with them? I said, did you ever get stung by one? She said, yeah. I said, how come you're still here? Did you go to the hospital? She said, no. Here's an interesting fact. They sting you. Do you know why they sting you?
Because they're defending themselves.
No.
Why?
To paralyze their prey.
Yeah, okay. That's
God,
terrifying.
Right? You imagine that? You got a cat or God knows what there. They sting them so they can eat them. Made me crazy. So then I'll never forget. I was on a golf course playing golf. One of the guys hits the ball in the rough, and I turn around, I'm looking for my ball. He comes screaming out of there. Screaming like I don't know what to say. I go over, and what's going on? It's like this 10-foot snake slithering there. Got a lot of snakes and rattles, so I'm kind of out of there. And she's telling me about them, all the rattlesnakes and all the venoms and all this stuff, and we're talking. And then I had an interesting question. I said, what about the javelinas? Do you know what javelinas is, Jesse?
No, I don't think I want to.
Look it up on the internet right now.
Javolinos. Is this a spider? Because I can't take it.
No, javelinas. I'm playing golf one day on Greyhawk, one of the cool golf courses in Scottsdale, Arizona. Actually, when you're at the tee box, they play rock music. They're known for it. Beautiful, fun golf course. Playing golf, and I'm in the middle of the round, and all of a sudden, I turn around, and these three monsters, what do they look like?
Oh, yeah.
Monsters come running towards me on the golf course. They're called javelinas.
They look like the guy you described in last week's show.
Yeah, they look like the predator. They look like pigs, but with tusks. They're the scariest things, and they're big, and they run fast. They come running out on the golf course. So I said to Cindy, what are they running at me for? Food. I said, what? I'm out of here. So on tonight's show, where would I go, Jesse? You asked the question. If it was up to me and I disappear, I'd pick a place. It would be Arizona, except for their creatures. And with that, I'm out of here. We'll be back in a minute.
Always in fashion.
This is Mark Weber. This is Always in Fashion. There is a brand called DKNY. It's Dunnicarron, New York. I am familiar with it. I spent 9 years there as the CEO. If there's one thing I know about that brand, it's fashion and quality at the highest level. The products are sensational. The styling is great. You know, fashion comes and goes, but your style is forever. Having a collection of clothes that is right, that'll make you look correct at all times, is so important. It's so important to the way you look. And it's very helpful when there's a collection that is on point. It's modern. It's contemporary. It tells the world that you know what you're doing. DKNY suits are navies, blacks, grays, charcoals. They're sensational. The shirts are whites and blues and beautiful patterns. The neckwear is very, very simple but very elegant. Right up my alley. I love those looks. And what they do for spring is they put in some shots of great color. It's simplistic but so practical. Pops of electric colors, sherbet, orange, watermelon, and lime. Just the right tone of soft colors to make those fashion products and those basic colors look outstanding. DKNY outerwear also is something to marvel at. You have the right piece of outerwear, it makes a statement. Simple, elegant, contemporary, and right, but it tells a story. And DKNY outerwear is amazing. The fall stuff was great. Now the follow-up for spring really, really looks sensational. You can find DKNY at Macy's or online. Go find it. I'm telling you. This is my recommendation. As I said, 9 years working there. I know how good it is. This is Mark Weber. This is Always in Fashion. And I love a product where form follows function. If you are a fan of the NFL, the National Hockey League, or Major League Baseball coming into the season, you like clothes that speak to your team, that allow you to be great fans, that allow you to get into the action and feel a part of it. There is a collection called Hands High Apparel, brought to you by Jimmy Fallon. These clothes are inventive sports team clothes that you will love wearing when you go to those games. And I got news for you. When you're not there and you want to look casual and you want to have a good time speaking to your team, Hands High by Jimmy Fallon is for you. The techniques they use to print, the treatments on the sleeves, the arms, the back, these are great-looking products that really tell a story, that allow you, the fan, to be part of that team. Hands High Apparel. Check it out at your local stores, guys. You're going to love it. Go online, and you'll see it as well. Hands High by Jimmy Fallon.
Welcome back to Always in Fashion. Here's your host, Mark Weber.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. And let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, baby, kiss me.
This is Mark Weber. That's Frank Sinatra. This is Business. And tonight it's I'm Outta Here. I've talked about all those things that annoy me, that just make me want to get out of here. I have no patience. You annoy me, I'm out of here. I'm not going to stand there and listen to you. If you have products, brands, cars, t-shirts, toothpaste, doesn't live up to my expectation, I'm out of here. I just move on. That's where I am today, and many of you, whether you think about it or not, can't suffer this stuff either, and you're out of there. Maybe it's going to take me going to the moon to find this perfect place that I want to be. I don't know. Tried everywhere. But that's where I'm at right now. I am out of here if you disappoint me. I really, really like what's going on right now. I do, except for what's going on in government. And I talked before about, oh my goodness, when you leave a job or you get fired, don't ever badmouth. Mr. Comey, I'll never forget when I saw you being interviewed by Congress and how proud I was to listen to you talk about the FBI. I actually did a show and I called it out how proud I was the way you talked about the FBI. And I said, give me faith in politicians and politics. And now you got fired. It wasn't pleasant, I'm sure. And it was very public and embarrassing and many other things. But rule number one when you get fired, you never, ever badmouth your boss, the company, or anyone else in that regard. And I can't help but say I'm not happy listening to what's going on. And however this really turns out in the end, your style right now doesn't work for me. But having said that, I'm out of here. Can't listen to that anymore. Success is always in fashion. And tonight, I'm out of here with a successful show. Hope you enjoyed it. Jesse and I will be back. I'm out of here.
Thank you for joining Mark Weber and Always in Fashion. See you next week.